So before we get started, the topic for this week was submitted by Natalia and voted on by all of our lovely patrons.
Well done, Natalia.
Hey. Yeah, good job. And if you want to submit an episode ideas or vote on which topics we cover, then head over to patreon.com/SciGuys.
That's patreon.com/SciGuys.
Patreon.com/SciGuys.
Let's start the show.
Hey!
Hello and welcome to The Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-hosts, Jem and Luke Cutford.
That's me.
That's me.
It's both of you.
Oh.
This week, we'll be talking about dreaming devices and sleepy science.
Oh.
Sleepy science.
Is this one of those science things where they claim to know what dreams are and then at the end they go, we don't really know what dreams are, guys.
We don't actually know what it is.
That's literally every single article I read this week.
Yay!
So it's safe to say that humans are obsessed with dreaming. Stories about dreams are ubiquitous throughout pretty much all forms of media. From Alice in Wonderland to Inception, we've explored almost every avenue of dreaming that we can. Despite that, some of us still can't remember our dreams. As always, science comes to the rescue, and we're now developing technology to solve this problem and record our dreams.
Wow.
Record them.
Yeah, it's really cool.
It is quite cool.
How? Yeah.
Well, that's the episode.
In what format?
In visual format.
What?
Yes.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I've got some visual aids as well
that's
for today.
Mad.
Wow.
Yeah. First off, what are dreams, Luke?
They are little hallucinations you have when you're sleeping.
Yeah, more or less. Yeah.
Maybe they're the real world.
Yeah, well, I've thought about that a lot.
We know. So dreams usually occur in the REM, rapid eye movement, part of sleep when brain activity is high and it's quite similar to being awake. You shaking your head?
I was doing my rapid eye movement.
Okay. No, that's not true. No, it is true. So REM sleep is revealed by continuous movement of the eyes, which is demonstrated by Luke right now.
If you're watching on YouTube, wow.
Or if you're listening, he's just moving his eyes. Think about it. It's very easy. It's very easy. You can dream at other times of sleep, but those seem to be less vivid or memorable. Effectively, yeah, dreams are just little movies that play in your head.
They're cute. They can be good and they can be bad, can't they?
They can be good and they can be bad.
Little horror films or little love films?
I've had a lot of nightmares recently, but they've been a great time.
I don't think that's a nightmare. That is that.
Sometimes you have a really good nightmare and you're like,
oh. Yeah, I've been having nightmares where like in the dream, I'm not like lucid dreaming. So I don't know that I'm dreaming, but I'm also not scared. But the stuff that's happening is scary.
Okay, I see what you mean. Yeah. Yeah, I've got things like those. But they're not, I wouldn't call them nightmares. They're just, usually they're stress dreams.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess we're just three very stressed individuals. So Harvard University psychiatrists, doctors John Allen Hobson and Robert McCarley, have this idea of activation synthesis. Effectively, they think that we don't dream at all. Instead, we just make it all up when we wake up.
So this is a theory that as you wake up, you simulate the entire dream in the instant that you wake up.
Interesting. I heard that most dreams are only like 2 or 3 seconds long, but maybe that's false.
I mean, they don't need to last very long because obviously your brain can run through a lot of things quite quickly. Can't it?
Yes.
Realistically, we don't exactly know what dreams are. In this case, we seem to have kind of got the idea that dreams...
Yeah. This is one of those things in science where, like, I get so bored. And not, no offense to Corey for making this episode, because it is very interesting.
I haven't even started
all of you
yet.
For like, voting for it.
But... Okay, yeah.
You voted
actually,
wrong.
Sorry,
boring.
I actually voted for this episode because I am actually a Patreon patron.
Hold on. So you knew this was coming.
I did vote for this episode because I found it very interesting as a concept. But I see things like Netflix and then like books and stuff saying like, why do we dream? Or news articles, why do we dream? Or what is consciousness? And then the answer is always, here's some possibilities and we don't know which one's true. It might be none of them. It might be one of them. We don't know. And it's like, why did you write it at all or make it? Just no offense again, Corey.
Come back when you figured it out.
Look at me dead in the eyes as you say that. You're terrible.
This episode, Remy, no.
Because you are coming to this from, while it's the Sci Guys, we also are going to talk about things outside of that.
Absolutely.
More interesting.
So, I mean, yeah, like I said, there was that idea of dreams just being made up upon waking from your brain just having random impulses while you're asleep and then wakes up and it's like, what was that?
Yeah.
Let's make up a story.
I had a few thoughts there.
Yeah.
Discuss.
Let's figure out why that happened. I don't really buy that either.
Well, you kind of immediately start forgetting your dreams, don't you?
Well, it depends. That's the thing. So my next sentence is literally, dream recall is variable. I can clearly see into the future. Yeah. So most people remember 1 to 2 dreams per week. Although memories can usually, you know, disappear quickly if they're not written down or, you know, kind of remembered in some way. Usually this younger people remember more than older people. Women remember more than men. And people who tend to, you know, write them down remember them more than people who don't focus on their dreams.
So I started writing all my dreams down in high school. Mm-hmm. And it was very weird because most of the time I wouldn't even have to write all of them down. But I'd go from remembering 1 or 2 dreams a week to remembering about 3 a night. Mm-hmm. It was very weird because just by the act of writing down what you remember,
James,
I could just recall more.
Once had, I hope you don't mind me telling this story.
Yeah, go for
James
it.
Once had a recurring dream for like 4 days.
Oh God.
That
oh,
he yeah. was somebody who wasn't him. You had a very clear sense that you weren't you. And there was a big wall of blue coming towards
to me. It felt like in the dream it felt like a nuke, but it was clearly blue. I couldn't describe it. It was a dream, so I was like, oh, it's crazy, man.
And you were running away from it trying to text your mum that
trying
you
to text
her.
My mum. I was like, I love you.
And like then you didn't have this dream for
and I was,
one day
I was with a bunch of people that I didn't recognize, but I knew they were my friends somehow.
And then you didn't have this dream for one day, and on that day there was a horrible tsunami in Sri Lanka. And we
it was
were
very
mental.
Weird to wake
we
up.
We all
with.
Went mad.
And I
mad.
Brought my dream journal down to you, and I was like, "Read this."
Yeah,
that was wild.
Yeah,
that was a wild time.
Yeah,
yeah. My next thing was, "What weird dreams do you have?" What weird
well,
dreams
that's
have
one.
You had? There you go. That's
well,
one weird dream.
James is one where he dreamed the life of a drowned Sri Lankan. Horrible.
Oh. I remember quite a lot of my dreams. In fact, I remember most of my dreams. And quite luckily, I had a very odd dream this morning or this afternoon when I woke up. Effectively, an angel told me. They said, you know, they were trying to give me a history of the world and what had happened because some stuff was going on that I needed to deal with. So they gave me all knowledge in the universe.
Nice.
As you do. Bit overkill, yeah.
Yeah.
And I said, can you not give me the knowledge of my death? And they were like, no, we're giving it to you.
Here
so
it
I was
is.
Like, I was like, okay, cool, that's fine. So I got the knowledge of everything. It wasn't immediately kind of, you know, like on my fingertips, but I had to think about it. So I was like, okay.
Yeah, you had to like sort through the file cabinets.
Yeah, so I went into my little mind palace and I saw a tweet about my death. I died at the age of 56, surrounded by my family, and I had twin sons.
It's going to be so freaky if you die at 56 now.
Yeah, it'd be annoying. Because,
I'm going to be freaked out if you have twin sons.
Yeah, I know, right? And I also read a tweet that after I died, someone was like, oh no, Corey died. It's a shame to see such a gay icon die, and I got really pissed off. I was like, I'm not gay. Why are you saying this after? I can't do anything about this now.
Bisexual people exist.
What
yeah,
are
so
you?
I what?
What are you?
I'm dead now.
Okay.
Dead sexual.
So I woke up. Just furious at this one person who tweeted that.
Did you know the person?
It was literally just some random,
just some
person,
random person.
Some random person on Twitter that I was furious about.
I often have, well, not often, but I've had a couple of times where I've had dreams where I like someone's been like really horrible to me in my real life. And I've spent like a whole day being like fed up of them and getting really annoyed at everything they do.
How dare they be mean to you in a dream? It's always really frustrating when someone is mad at you because they dreamt that you did something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also have a recurring dream, which I still want to work out what it means, which is that I'm in a house I used to live in about 3 or 4 years ago. And it was this big house. And in this dream, I discover this door that takes me into a fourth dimension extra to the house. So it's still the house, but it's houses that is part of the house that you couldn't access normally in the 3D world.
So
and I've
Coraline.
Had this dream so many times. So many times.
Is
why don't
protecting?
You go back to that house and then
well, I can't. They've sold it now, unfortunately.
Just knock on the door and say, hello, I've had a dream.
Hello, excuse me, can I find the fourth dimensional door in your house, please?
Just let me have a look at your doors, please.
I just need to fall asleep in your house real quick.
I need to stay over just one night. Just one night, please. I think you should go to that house. I always had a dream when I was a kid.
Good for you, man.
I had a few of those as a kid, you know?
Yeah. No, so have you ever had difficulty telling a dream from reality?
Yeah, I used to have this.
Yes.
So when I was a kid, I was adamant that once I went to this lovely fancy restaurant with my parents, this massive, huge place, you know, it had a great grand entrance, like a palace. But there were no children allowed, and they didn't realize till they got to the door. And so they said, well, you can you can polish spoons and you can polish cutlery with this like Polish this Polish person that works in the kitchen. So it was this massive room where we're just polishing a bunch of cutlery. We're just sitting chatting this whole time. And it took me until the age of about, 18 to realize that didn't actually happen.
You dreamt that.
Yeah, I dreamt that. Because of course it didn't happen. It's something ridiculous that I fully believed happened up until the age of about 17, 18.
This is a bit of a crazy one, but I was speaking to my therapist fairly recently and I was like, so I once had a dream that I murdered somebody, and then for about a week and a half, I actually believed I'd murdered somebody.
I remember you telling me this.
Yeah, it was so clear. And I asked my dad, and he's also had this. Like, I was like, oh my God, I'm a murderer. For like a week, I was like, but the weird thing was the dream happened in my childhood home, so I couldn't possibly have murdered someone, and I buried them in the back garden of my childhood home. But yeah, for a solid week, I was like,
we should go check.
Was that a memory or a dream?
That's awful. That's awful.
Yeah. God.
It's weird that you can hang on to stuff in dreams. I once dreamt that I had two twin sons. Completely.
Wow. You're going to die when you're 56, leaving behind two twin sons.
That's awful.
And someone's going to tweet that.
I don't know why
gay.
I'm celebrating that.
That's terrifying.
It's a celebration for the science of dreams. It's not a celebration for you.
34 years, Luke. It's not enough time. So I had this dream that I had two twin sons. I was raising them by myself. I was roughly the age that I was when I had the dream, about 17. I was still in high school. And then I went through a lot of their life. I was raising them. Then I woke up. And I felt this loss for about a week because I was like, I don't have my sons anymore. Yeah. Where have they gone?
Have you ever woken up from a dream and looked around at the life you're in and gone, oh, I'm back here. As if you'd just been somewhere else. Yeah. And you look around, you're like, oh,
all
really?
Of high school.
Not in a
all
while.
Of high school. Really? Again?
High school. Not high in school. A while, so it's been nice.
Yeah. It's weird that everyone does that at high school.
I had a lot of dreams that I was out of high school.
No, I do that
when
now
I was in
still,
high school.
Sometimes.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah. No. Not in like the last few months, so.
Oh, good.
It's positive.
Shall we move on?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you a little bit about REM sleep, a little bit more about that. So during sleep, the brain moves through five different stages. One of the stages is rapid eye movement sleep, and the other four are non-rapid eye movement sleep.
Are they like different wave patterns?
Yeah. So, effectively, it's
varying levels of brain activity?
Yeah, varying levels of brain activity and differences in the way that your body works. So I'll tell you a little bit about kind of the cycle first. So you enter REM sleep within the first 90 minutes of falling asleep, and then as your sleep cycles repeat, which is around about 90 minutes, then it becomes more and more constant. So you usually have REM sleep for about 20-25% of your sleep cycle as an adult, and over 50% if you're an infant, like a baby. Dream cycles, sleep cycles being 90 minutes means that you should really be sleeping for
7.5 hours.
Well, yeah, you should be sleeping for multiples of
or six,
an hour and a half.
Well, people who have an average sleep time of over 8 hours, as they go above 8 hours, their expectancy of life drops.
Really?
But that might just be correlation, but that is true. Yeah.
Maybe it's because they're sleeping it might so be because... much of their life. Because they don't count the sleep. That's what it is. Their life is the same length. They're just not counting the sleep.
Sure.
Yeah.
It might be a positive correlation with like people who sleep a lot getting less exercise or like, I don't know. I haven't looked at the data, but there is a correlation between sleeping more than 8 hours and sleeping less than 8 hours and death.
Yeah. Sleeping not enough is really bad for you. I say sleeping four hours a night.
Yeah. I don't sleep nearly enough.
Some facts about REM sleep. Most dreams happen during then, like I said. It's supposed to be helping you learn, fix your memory, and modulate your mood. it's most active, your brain, during REM sleep, and breathing can become fast and irregular during that point. So if you hear someone like, their breathing changes when they're sleeping, it's probably because they're going to REM sleep. You don't need to demonstrate breathing. We know what that is.
Thanks, James.
We all do it. All of us.
Not me. How long you want to play this game, Corey?
As long as you want. But my laptop is dying. So let's... If you keep that in, someone's just going to think that their phone is not working.
It's just like, oh, what's going on?
So if you drink alcohol before you sleep, it reduces the amount of REM sleep that you have, which is why you can sleep for ages when you're drunk and wake up and feel terrible.
Yeah.
And if you have REM sleep disorder, some REM sleep disorders, you can act out your dreams. So I think that's related to sleepwalking.
Like sleepwalking.
And sleep punching. And sleep talking.
I sleep elbow.
Wow, poor Phoenix.
I talk to Phoenix. I have some weird sleeping patterns. My arms just do their own thing while I'm asleep.
My housemate Rachel runs in her sleep.
What? How have I never heard this about?
She has a thing called restless leg syndrome. And she just like runs.
Oh, so in her bed.
She wakes up having run a marathon. It's so strange.
Imagine putting her in the London Marathon just to sleep. You know, like... pop a couple of sleeping pills, stand her up, let her go.
That's so funny.
So there's also non-REM sleep, as I mentioned. So before you get into REM sleep, you go through each of these stages of non-REM sleep. Each stage lasts for about 5 to 15 minutes. So stage one is when a person is, you know, between being awake and asleep, and they're kind of, or a very light sleep.
They're in the ether.
Okay. Stage Limbo. Two is a slightly deeper sleep. Your body temperature drops and your heart rate drops at this point. Stage three and four are a state of deep and restorative sleep known as slow wave sleep or delta sleep. That's because your brain...
Delta wave patterns.
Thank you for finishing my sentence.
You're welcome.
That's because the brain delta wave patterns.
Your muscles relax and the supply of blood to the muscles increases and the body starts repairing and growing tissue.
That the period of sleep that you mentioned between wakefulness and sleep, that is like the place where people have ideas, isn't it? It's like this creative zone. And Alexander Graham Bell, I don't know if you've spoken about this before, but Alexander Graham Bell, I think it was him anyway, created this contraption where he would sit in a chair with this thing that as soon as he fell asleep,
wake him up.
It dinged a bell, and he would write down whatever he was thinking about, and he came up with inventions by doing that. And I have this, like, you wake up and you like think of like what feels like the most incredible idea of all time, and then you wake up properly and you go to write it down and you've forgotten it.
See, sometimes I don't forget these things. I just write them down. So I've got things in my notes that are just nonsensical.
Sure.
I think I've tried to write a song before based on that, and it's just the words don't. It's like don't pie, fruitcake, maths calculator.
I've
21.
I've come up with songs where I'm like, that's the greatest song of all time.
It's gonna change the world. Yeah. And then
number
you write it down, and you're like
in the charts.
1726.
Now that
not
could
a, not
be
a song.
That your brain is hallucinating absolute garbage, or it could be that there is a data issue between the spirit world and the physical world.
I've got the wrong adapter.
You don't know which one? Yeah.
So back to sleeping. In stage three and four, your body, you know, repairs itself and it grows tissues and makes you bigger and all that. And then that's when hormones are released and energy stores are replenished. And then that's all four stages of non-REM sleep. And then you switch into REM and you start doing all your lovely dreams.
Lovely.
As I said, as you age, you tend to get less non-REM sleep. And if you're under 30, you usually get 2 hours of restorative sleep nightly. While older adults may get just 30 minutes.
So you have more REM sleep when you're a child and you get more again when you're an adult. Sorry, when you're an old person.
I assume so. To be honest, I think you just get less sleep. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, my granddad sleeps for like 5 hours.
Well, realistically, it's probably the different parts of non-REM sleep. So you don't get the restorative sleep for as much or REM sleep for as much. Basically, the restorative part of non-REM sleep fixes your body.
Yeah.
And REM sleep sorts your brain out.
Yeah. But you're old now, so you don't need to fix your body and you don't need to fix your brain.
Yeah, so it's just like, let's just give you bad, awful sleep. Yeah,
or it's just you're so far gone, it's just like... Oh,
you're going to wake up to pee every 2 hours. There you go.
So you have... Let me get this straight. You have more REM sleep when you get older.
No, you don't. You have less REM sleep. You have more of a different type of non-REM sleep.
Oh. I think that's the opposite of what you said.
No. You get less... So you get less... What I did say was that you get less non-REM sleep
so
and less REM
negative.
Sleep. I haven't.
So you get less of every... Just
less
get less sleep.
Non-REM sleep.
Yeah, you get
so
less...
more
of you,
REM
no,
sleep.
No, you get less of both. Because, listen... Listen. There are four different stages of non-REM sleep.
Yeah.
I'm saying you get less of the restorative stage.
Yeah.
There are two stages before that you get.
Right.
So those will increase.
So you don't get less non-REM sleep. You get less
restorative
specific types of non-REM sleep.
So you get more of the thinky ideas sleep.
No, you don't get any.
And more of the heartbeat slowing sleep.
You get more heartbeat slowing.
This that's, is not why, good. That's not good for old
James,
people.
This is why we sit on this side of the table. And Corey has his own side on his own.
You get more
because
of
the, I can't reach you from here.
You get more of the heartbeat sleep.
So, to summarize, when you are old, you sleep less and you get less of a couple of the types of non-REM sleep. You get
proportionally more
of the other two types of non-REM sleep, I think.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yay!
So, what does REM sleep do, Luke?
Does it help you sort your memories out and stuff?
That's literally the first thing I've got. Yeah, wow. Learning and memory. So research suggests that when you can't have REM sleep, you have difficulty remembering what you were taught before falling asleep. So if you're in school, the best thing to do is to sleep lots.
Sleep
through school. Be late. Yeah. It's fine.
And that's
you'll learn
why
better.
Old people can't learn very well.
Yeah, because they don't sleep good. Oh. And also
so
they're
that's
dumb.
Why studying
stupid brains.
That's why studying late and pulling an all-nighter is not good.
No, it is good.
No.
Studying late and then pull... Oh, but then you have to sleep. Okay, yeah.
You have to sleep.
Well, no.
Sorry, let me just go again. Yeah, that's right, James.
Yeah, but so if the thing is, if you pull an all-nighter, then it's not like you're getting less non-REM sleep, so it should be fine.
You're getting none.
It's probably better to do an all-nighter than it is to do...
None is less.
No, you are getting less.
Yeah, but that's like saying you don't learn as good if you, like, you know, if throughout the day. This is just before you go to sleep.
Yeah, but if you learn something just before you go to bed, you'll probably retain it better.
I mean, it depends.
Oh
yeah, true. If I told you something in the morning and then I asked you to remember it in the evening, do you think you'd remember it better than if I told you something in the evening and asked you to remember it in the morning?
Yes. You'd remember it better if you told me in the evening and asked me in the morning.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Fair enough.
Well, that's what your science says.
That's not what my science says. My science is also about
other
stuff.
But other bits of, like, things I've read about the theory of learning is that if you learn something in the evening and then sleep on it, you'll retain it better.
Oh, yeah, no, that
makes sense. It's like saving a game and then turning it off and rebooting it.
Yeah.
And then it's where you left off.
Okay.
No, but I mean, you'll retain it better across time as well, not just the next day.
Oh, not just the next day. Okay.
So stuff you do just before bed, like, so, like, one of the things I was... So, like, for example,
so
I have
the save file.
I have this weird party trick where you can
have
pretty much
save file regardless of whether you kept on playing or not. It's not a good analogy.
I have this weird party trick where, like, you can pretty much ask, like, read me any sentence from any of the Harry Potter books, and I can probably tell you the next sentence. And that's really? Because I listened to every Harry Potter audiobook on repeat every night from like the age of 5 and
what?
Or like from the age of like 7 until. I mean, I still do it sometimes now.
Not my daughter.
Can I give
bitch.
You one?
Not my daughter. That's, said Mrs. Weasley, screamed Mrs. Weasley, and then she explodes. No, she doesn't explode. Helmut Carter dies. Yeah, okay,
well,
fuck you.
It's Bellatrix Lestrange, for one thing.
Yeah, okay, well, don't test me now.
I'm sorry. Okay, but I'll do an easy one. Mr. and Mrs. Dursley of Number Four
Drive were proud to say they were perfectly normal, thank you very much. They were not the kind of people you would expect to be involved in anything strange and peculiar, because they just didn't deal with that sort of nonsense.
Harry pocketed it.
That's all over the books. Shut up.
Do you know the reason that it's all over the books?
Yeah, he's I think told I told you this.
Did you tell me this?
Yeah.
He's told, well, Luke told me this.
Okay, then why don't you tell everyone
so
this?
So basically, when Stephen Fry was reading the audiobooks of Harry Potter, he had real trouble saying, Harry pocketed it. And he phoned up J.K. Rowling and was like, can I please remove, like, say, put it in his pocket instead? And J.K. Rowling was like, no, you signed a contract to read them exactly as they are unabridged. You'll read pocketed it. And when he opened the next book in the series, she had put pocketed it in loads of parts of the book just to mess with him. That is so good.
I mean, it's one of those things that you probably don't, you're somewhat aware of, you don't notice, but Harry pocketed it.
It's not a phrase you expect.
He puts a lot of things in his pocket.
Yeah, but it's in the books so often.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a very common phrase.
Yeah.
How full are his pockets? So, he never takes anything out.
Deep to be pockets. Fair, in the last Harry Potter book, it's revealed that Harry hasn't fully emptied his trunk since first year.
Yeah.
He's digging through it and he's found stuff that he had there since he was 11.
God, he's disorganized.
Moldy.
He's a disgusting young man.
Filthy.
So what does REM sleep do? It helps with learning and memory. I hope you guys remembered that.
I did.
Well, I would have had I gone to sleep directly after.
To be honest, a lot of the time it feels like both of you are asleep during this podcast because you don't remember anything that comes up later.
Harry pocketed it.
Okay, I'm going to remember that forever.
One study on rats showed that just 4 days of REM sleep deprivation affects cell proliferation, which is effectively your cells making themselves in the part of the brain that contributes to long-term memory. So if you have 4 days of no REM sleep, your brain doesn't make the memory part very good.
Yeah. There's a study online, well, there's an experiment online, this guy who just decided to not sleep for like 15 days or something. And he just describes everything that happens every day. And it's really interesting.
Really awful. I think the one of the records for the longest with the time without sleep, I think it was, and this may not be true anymore, but it was a radio show host, I believe, who did it for charity. And he's had lasting brain damage from not sleeping.
Because isn't it within a few days?
Oh, yeah, like three or 4 days.
You build up so many toxins in your brain, I guess.
Yeah, so you need to sleep. Even sleeping like 5 hours a night is bad. Really bad for you.
Yeah,
really, really bad. And you don't, it's not something that you notice, but it stops your brain from working properly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why when if you're feeling really awful, like one of my greatest pieces of advice, like as in strongest piece of advice, would be just to have a sleep. And that's based on the fact that I read once, whether this is true or not, I don't know, but it works for me. I read that when you sleep, your brain kind of, your brain, brainal cavity, like the area in which your brain is, like floods with water and your brain actually grows, like it absorbs some water and then it shrinks back again, like the water drains back out, and it takes with it all the neurotoxins and all the neurotransmitters that you have been using throughout the day. So if you have stress, then while those, some of those things are reabsorbed, they are also just hanging around and bouncing off other stuff. And if apparently when you sleep, your brain like floods with water like a dishwasher and then washes it all away.
Yeah.
Don't know if it's true.
Doesn't sound scientifically accurate, but sure.
I mean,
I like it to be
maybe
true.
No, I mean, it sounds, it's a lovely idea. I just,
what if you woke up mid-flood?
Well, I can't find any evidence to that.
Therefore, it's not true, you silly boy.
Well, it says sleep helps restore the brain by flushing out toxins. And flushing implies some water. So,
you flush a toilet.
Sure, your brain flushes all the toxins down the brain toilet.
Yeah. Fine. Yeah. So I'm sure someone listening knows stuff about brains and can write to us. Please.
Please, we don't know.
Prove me right.
Usually I'd Google this, but my laptop's died and I'm on my phone.
He's asleep.
So, you know, REM sleep is good for your central nervous system as well. Apparently, it's very good for brain development in infants. And apparently, it's responsible for the neural stimulation that makes more neural connections. So if you keep a baby from sleeping, it's not going to be very good at doing anything.
Basically, gets
babies
sleep.
Aren't good at doing anything anyway.
Yeah, but it won't learn to be good at doing anything. That's the one thing that babies are good at, learning to do stuff.
That's true. Yeah,
that's very true.
Yeah, they're just bad at the doing stuff part.
Give credit to babies where it's due.
That's probably why infants need a higher level of REM sleep, because they got a lot of connections to make in their brain, because they're so dumb.
They got work to do.
They really do.
They really do.
And as I said, consequences, it can, you know, less REM sleep can be linked to reduced coping skills. So you can't deal with stressful situations.
I have reduced coping skills.
Sleep more. Migraines, being overweight as well, they've all been linked to it. So if you want to lose weight, take a nap.
Get some sleep.
Don't go on a run.
Don't go to the gym. Take a nap. Don't go to the gym. Get some sleep.
Every time you want a gym, just
go to the gym.
Yeah.
Great.
So I'll tell you guys about reading dreams, shall I?
Yes.
Ooh, please.
Yeah. Ah, this is the brain interface.
Yes. So there's a man called Daniel Aldiss. And he is an independent dream researcher and the author of The Lucid Dream Manifesto.
That's like the Labour Manifesto.
So he's doing this with David M. Schneier. It's S-C-H-N-Y-E-R. It's an awful...
Yeah. Schneier. Like Schneider without the D.
It might just be Schneider. That might be a no, it's definitely Schneier. Anyway, they're working at the University of Texas in Austin to record the movement of people and their speech in dreams. So Schneier runs the university's cognitive neuroscience lab. They use an EMG to measure nerve impulses to muscles when subjects sleep. So effectively what they do is they strap you in to this like big old thing that has all these little electrodes down your body that see what your muscles are doing when you're sleeping. They've also got one on your jaw, you know, on your lips and stuff to see what your lips are doing.
So you can see what you're saying.
Yeah. So effectively what happens is when you sleep, your body paralyzes itself, because otherwise all those electrical signals that your brain's sending out would cause you to do whatever you're doing in your dreams.
And that's why we get sleep paralysis sometimes.
Yes. And it's awful.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
It happens every night.
Terrifying. Every night?
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's not fun.
It's fine. You.
Although my brain has started doing this thing where it tricks me into thinking that I am actually moving when I'm not.
Wow.
Oh. Yeah, so I've gone past. So I realize I'm paralyzed. And then I'm like, okay, I need to try really hard to move. And it's like having like an aneurysm. And then I manage to move. And then
you've not actually moved.
I've not actually moved. And then I wake up and I'm like, oh.
See, I used to have this. I used to have dreams where I'd have a scary dream and then I'd wake up thinking I'd woken up. And then I would try and scream out to my mom or to my dad, like, because I was having a nightmare. And I would open my mouth and my mouth would make no noise. Mm. And I'd realize I was still in a dream. And then I'd wake up from that dream and I'd be in sleep paralysis.
Yeah.
And the dream I was having, the original nightmare, was like this recurring nightmare I have of my own birth. So it was like, you're being born in a horrible world. Then you wake up and your voice box doesn't work. Then you wake up for real and you can't move. What? It's and then horrifying. It happened like every night for like years.
That's horrifying.
Such a mess.
Yeah, sleep paralysis is not fun.
No.
Maybe we'll do an episode on it one day.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Please.
So they measure all the impulses to your muscles while you're sleeping to see what your brain's trying to tell you to do. And from that, they're trying to figure out what you're doing and saying in your sleep. Yeah, so what they first do is they make you do a bunch of actions and you then say all of the phonemes, which are all the little sounds in the English language, before you go to sleep. So
right.
that they can then match those up.
Match it up, yeah.
Right.
But wait, so they are measuring the impulses to your nerve muscles. Mm-hmm. But they must be doing that not on the skin or on the muscle. They must be doing it at the brain because there is a block that blocks the signal from reaching the muscle.
So it says that even though you're not actually moving when you dream, the impulses are still going to the muscles.
Wow. So there's a different mechanism telling the muscle to not actually, to ignore the mechanism.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's not for us.
So they're trying to do basic movements like walking. And in fact, I've seen the video. They've got this really horrifying looking kind of human model, a 3D model, with really odd surfer clothes on. And
surfer clothes?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
It's weird. And you can see its legs kind of moving and its arms twitching as the person is sleeping and dreaming about walking or doing things.
Right.
So
is this maybe why like dogs, when they sleep, they twitch, but they don't actually run. They like twitch like they're running. Mm. Is it like them receiving the signal, starting to run, and then receiving the signal not to run, and then stopping running?
It could be that. I mean, people do similar things as well. You know, they twitch around, you know, they move. Sometimes when you're falling asleep and you jerk yourself awake.
Yeah.
So you think you're falling.
That's the worst feeling.
It's not fun. It's not fun. So in addition to that, as I said, they're doing speech. They place 5 or 6 electrodes on each participant's lips and throat, I guess, depending on how big your lips are. So as I said, they pronounce every sound. They pronounce every sound in the English language, and that becomes a template for when they're speaking in the dream. It's quite difficult still because they don't really, you know, it's still a bit fuzzy. But they're getting somewhere with it, which is quite cool.
Is this the only? I've seen a different one where they're.
I'll butcher that.
Okay.
So let's just
hold your horses, sir.
I will hold my horses.
So while all this is working on that, over in Japan, Yukiyasu Kamitani is at Kyoto University working on decoding images, which is what you're about to say?
Yes.
Ooh. Yeah, fantastic. So effectively, they are using MRIs to look at people's brains, and then they're using effectively they're using deep brain analysis to turn that into an image. And I've actually got...
How?
Yeah, well, it's not... As far as I've read, it's not as complicated as it sounds in that most of the work is done by a machine learning algorithm.
Oh, that's what the deep brain analysis is.
So it's training data and it's going, when this impulse comes in, it generally means this image. I mean, it's still very impressive, but they're not doing this manually. They're not manually decoding the code of the brain.
A peek here means that it's this pixel and that, like it's a computer that does it. But what that does mean is that soon enough, computers will be able to read our dreams. Which I'm not happy about. And also,
I'm not very pleased with.
I dream about some weird
it's private.
Exactly. So I've actually got the video here for you. You might be able to show it on screen as well.
No!
This is the first video. There's two of them. This one is just simple, simple shapes.
This is exciting.
You'll have to go to YouTube if you want to see this and you're listening to the audio.
Oh, so the links are in the description if you're listening to the audio of this.
What the hell?
That's amazing. They've just taken someone's brainwaves and turned it into an actual image.
I don't understand how this works. I don't understand this.
I wish I understood.
Well, what's the raw data? Are they dreaming of a cross?
So in this case, the raw data is they are showing someone a picture.
Okay, so they're not dreaming yet.
No, so this is not dreaming yet.
Yeah, so I've seen this. This first was they were showing someone a picture and they were trying to decode the visual data that they can then pick up from the brain.
So effectively what's happening here is they are showing someone
really
a picture
cool,
and then they're trying to recreate that picture in using the brain waves. But again, they're not doing it manually. They have got a computer system that is doing it as close as possible, which is incredible.
And so the theory behind that then is that if they can decode the visual data, then the way you dream is basically just simulating visual data and simulating as if you were actually experiencing it. So if they can do that, then they can decode your dreams.
Which the issue being, obviously, that dreams seem to be less than... they seem to be quite abstract. So it might be difficult to recreate an image. But what I've got here, rather than being like kind of geometric images, we've got natural ones. And this one is much more interesting to watch. So if I show you this, this one is also linked in the description.
So what we're seeing right now is we are seeing like a series of animals, and then the computer algorithm try and work out and generate an image of what it is. And you can see distinctly on there features like eyes and sort of general shape,
beaks,
and colors,
wings,
almost
colors. The colors are quite good.
So like right now we're seeing like a white swan, and it is making like a white kind of like blob that's vaguely swan shaped. It's really quite impressive.
And the crab is quite good as well. The crab looks very crab-like.
Whoa.
So then you've got an orca whale in the ocean, and it's getting the basic shapes right. And the thing is, when you're watching some of the animals, it cycles through and they kind of look like dogs or other similar looking animals.
They become other animals for like small seconds.
What I wonder about this, though, is that much of the work being done here is it looks like it's using Google's Deep Dream, which is taking raw data sets and turning it into like recognizing features like, for example, eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So a lot of that is like, it's almost like computer hallucination. So it's like taking the raw data of our brain and then re-hallucinating on top of it the way that we hallucinate reality on top of our raw eye data.
Mm.
So it's got a long way to go, but it's still like really impressive.
It's got a longish way to go. I mean, it's apparently within the next decade or two, this is something that could be rolling out, supposedly. I mean, realistically, when you think about it, if it's a computer algorithm that's doing this, that evolves very quickly and it gets better almost exponentially. So it's not something that we're going to be, I mean,
wow.
Me dying at 56, I could be seeing this before I go out, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. We'll do it at your funeral. We'll read your death thoughts.
No.
We'll read the thoughts of your corpse.
No, don't
we'll
you dare.
Put you in an MRI
machine.
We'll
put it on your brain. We'll see what
you're
looking at.
I'm saying this now for anyone that's listening and for all eternity.
Please read my mind now, especially at my funeral.
My thoughts are not to be read by any technology ever, unless I give consent.
Man, it's too late for that.
Unless I give express consent for each individual time.
Have you ever scrolled down to the bottom of an agreement and pressed agree?
Oh dear God.
I'm sure there's stuff in there for that, man.
Google has already Google has signed us up to like everything in the future. Google owns your dreams
we
now, by the
body.
Way. So Aldous said the goal is to put all of those together and create a movie of your dream. Which is interesting because you'd be able to see the visuals, you'd be able to see the physical movement that you've got and what you're saying. So you'd really be able to reconstruct pretty much the entirety of dreams. Because if you think about it, sounds don't really tend to happen in dreams. Smells don't really tend to happen in dreams. It's all kind of interpreted visually.
Yeah.
So effectively, they're really going on this. They've linked it to Inception. Apparently, literally,
bloody film.
What one of the scientists have said is that there might be a chance that you could wake up wanting to buy Colgate toothpaste or an Apple product because they just decided to put it in your dreams.
I always wake up wanting to buy an Apple product, let's be honest.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Well, I wake up wanting to buy Colgate.
So. And I wake up wanting to buy nothing. So obviously, if you're able to record your own dream, you could conceivably record someone else's dream, which could lead to, instead of, interrogating someone for evidence, you interrogate them through their dreams.
Yeah.
Or
you shame them for their dreams.
You could do that as well.
Use it as leverage.
Yeah.
How dare you dream about...
Or if you're in a country where you outlaw being gay.
Yeah.
True.
Read someone's dreams. It's there you go. The thought police. It's horrifying. Yeah. We're heading toward, if we don't, this is what I always say about this kind of stuff. We need to have the legislation for it now. Because once you let that
need to be two steps
yeah,
ahead
once
of
you
it.
Open that box, it's Pandora's box. Once you open it,
you can't close it.
You're not closing it. So maybe get a little lock on it before we try.
Let's establish the rules now.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're a lawmaker,
yeah, please
sort it out. Please
consider this.
right now. Apparently, like advanced consumer products could end up being a kind of advanced set of pajamas that has kind of small MRI or infrared kind of readers in them. They've got a little nightcap and a chin strap to measure your jaw and your lips and your brain activity. And also the pajamas, they're full length as they measure the impulses to your arms
and
legs.
Why are people going to want to record their dreams, though? Like the average consumer, why are they going to want to record their dreams?
Luke, people buy pointless stuff YouTube, all of the YouTube time. Are you content. Asking that question? People buy Apple products that are exactly the same as the previous ones, except they've got some silly new feature, like it looks at your face.
So, yeah. New camera.
Yeah, exactly. This one has a thumbprint reader. This one looks at your face and opens. And people buy it.
You know that camera you like?
It.
Three of them.
Yeah.
This laptop has a touch bar instead of buttons. Doesn't that look nice?
Wow, that's cool. Oh, it's the same laptop apart from that. Okay.
I literally got that laptop, and to be honest, not looking back. Of course I'm going to get those pajamas. I want to look at my dreams. It's like a movie tailored to you.
I want pajamas.
Yeah, so that is the science of dreams.
Scary.
And, you know, kind of the future that we're heading towards.
Well, yes.
Any closing statements?
It's all right. Corey will be dead when he's 56. He doesn't have to deal with most of it.
Jesus. I really don't want to die when I'm 56.
My closing statement would be, that's what science says dreams are. Think for yourself.
Think for yourself,
dream on.
Let's
pick it back up because I want to get.
Oh, we're not done. Okay, good.
No, I want to say
okay,
thanks.
Good. Bring it back round. Bring it back round, please.
I want to say thanks to some people.
Okay.
Thanks
that's
to some
good.
Of our patrons over at Patreon for keeping the lights on and keeping this show running. You know, for a little as $1 a month, you can get access to a whole load of benefits and a very special thanks to these people in particular.
Who are they?
I'm about to say their names.
Go on then.
Do you want to read some of them out too?
I will read some.
Okay.
Begin.
Special thanks to Luke Cutforth.
That's me.
Thank you, Luke.
Did you put me on the list?
Yeah, thanks. Of course I did.
Thank you to Landy Manderson, who has been a longtime supporter of me and now the podcast. Very lovely.
Thank you to Megan Poynting. I made fun of your name the last time.
Yeah.
But
not this time.
Not this time. Thanks, Megan.
Thank you to Alice Blacker Loyalalian. I hope I pronounced your name right.
Brilliant name, by the way. And Hiccup. Also, fantastic name. And the last fantastic name, Corey.
Thanks, me standing.
Me standing.
I stood up again. I stood up.
You, it's the same
you
joke.
Did
Yay.
Make fun of other names. Be a nice
Poor
person for once.
I didn't make fun of their name. I didn't make fun of it. But no, really.
And of course, Natalia for suggesting this week's episode.
Oh, good suggestion.
Yeah, thanks, Natalia. It was a very good episode. And like I said, if you want to suggest an episode, just head on over to patreon.com/SciGuys and
do that.
Become a patron and you'll be able to do
Please.
That.
Please.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening.
No, that's not the right
you can
one.
Find the full references for this episode in the description down below. Subscribe for new episodes every Monday. And why not leave us a nice wee review? Find and contact us at SciGuys Pod on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And become a patron at our patreon.com/SciGuys. You can follow me at Luke Cutforth everywhere.
You can follow me at Duncan everywhere.
You can follow me at Not Corey everywhere.
Yay.
Have a happy new year.
Have a happy new year.
Happy new year.